Medieval History, Thursday, April 23rd. History Unit, The Norman Conquest. Lesson 2, The Battle of Hastings. Lesson 2, Socratic Guiding Question. What makes it legitimate for one ruler to attack another? Objective, be able to do this by the end of this lesson. How did the Battle of Hastings affect rule in England? Introduction to Lesson 2. Yesterday, we learned about the death of Edward the Confessor, the naming of Harold Godwinson as King of England, and Harold's defeat of the rival claimant to the throne, Harald Hardrada, King of Norway. Today, we will learn about the other rival claimant to the throne, Duke, also called Earl, William of Normandy, and his conquest of England at the Battle of Hastings in 1066 AD. The Bayeux Tapestry. We will primarily approach this lesson through a selection of images of the Bayeux Tapestry, which was made circa 1070 AD, probably in Kent, i.e. Canterbury in southeast England. 70 meters in length and about 3 feet in height, it was probably made at the request of Odo, Bishop of Bayeux in France, the half-brother of Duke William, and presents the Norman point of view. As such, the tapestry favorably depicts the Normans in the events leading up to the Battle of Hastings. By the late Middle Ages, the tapestry was displayed at Bayeux Cathedral. The way today's lesson will work is that you will describe what is happening in each image, and I will provide commentary on the next page. As you look at the image, you should circle noteworthy details and attempt to translate the Latin as best you can. Note, if word has lines on top of some of its letters, example given SCI APLI below, that means it has been shortened and letters nearby are missing. So SCI APLI equals Sancti Apostoli. What is happening in this image on page 14? How do you know? Page 15. The Latin reads, "Here is carried the body of Edward the King to the church of St. Peter the Apostle, Sancti Petri Apostoli. The event depicted is the burial procession for the dead King Edward the Confessor, whose death, as you read about yesterday, led to the three different claimants to the throne of England. The church of St. Peter the Apostle in the tapestry was built by Edward the Confessor and had been completed around 1060 A.D., and consecrated on December 28, 1065, only a week before Edward's death on January 5, 1066. It still stands today in London, though now named Westminster Abbey, pictured to the left. What is happening in the portrait below on page 15? How do you know? Page 16. The Latin on the left reads, "Here they give to Harold the crown of the king." The accusative coronam has been shortened to corona, crown, an appropriate word for our time. The Latin on the right reads, "Here resides Harold, king of the Angles," English. The Latin below labels the character as Stigan, the Archbishop of Canterbury, Archiepiscopus. At that time, the king and the Archbishop of Canterbury were the two leading figures of England. The king as a leader of the state, and the archbishop as a leader of the church, at least in southern England. You learned yesterday how Harold was named King of England, after Edward's death, and you can see on the left the crown being given to him. In the next panel, seated as king, Harold holds the orb, a symbol of his worldly or temporal authority. Orbis terrarum, world. The cross on top of the orb signifies that his worldly authority has been given to him by God, and that Christ is the ultimate authority over all. He also holds the scepter, which is associated with good governance. It's worth noting that Archbishop Stigan, alternately spelled Stigant, was a simonist. Simony is the practice of buying and selling positions of authority within the church. Although Stigan has been condemned by the Pope, He was not able to be removed because of the support of Harold's father, Godwin, and now Harold. Thus, when Duke William of Normandy heard that Harold, and not himself, had been made King of England, he went to the Pope to secure approval for the conquest of England. The Pope knew about the problematic situation with Stigand in England, and he also knew that the Normans had been champions of church reform, renewal, and growth in Normandy. The Pope had studied for a time at the Norman Abbey of Bec. The Pope thus proclaimed Duke William the rightful King of England and commissioned him to provide for the full reform of the English Church. Questions. Number 1. What is a Simonist? Number 2. Why did the Pope support Duke William in his conquest of England? What is happening at the bottom of page 16 in the portrait? How do you know? The Latin reads, "Here Duke William commanded his men to build ships. This was in preparation for them to cross the English Channel and take over England." What is happening in the image on page 17? How do you know? The Latin reads, "Here Duke William crossed the sea in a great ship and came to Pevensey." The first part of this translation came from a previous part of the tapestry, not pictured. This was narrated in the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle excerpt from yesterday on page 13. In other words, Duke William is sailing from France to England. Look at the images on page 18. This is the final image from the tapestry. What is happening here? How do you know? Page 19. The Latin reads, "Here King Harold was slain, and the Angles, English, turned in flight." This narrative is added to in the Anglo-Saxon Chronicle entry for 1066 AD. Meantime, Earl William came up from Normandy into Pevensey on the eve of St. Michael's Mass, and soon after his landing was effected, they constructed a castle at the port of Hastings. This was then told to King Harold, and he gathered a large force and came to meet him at the estuary of Appledore. William, however, came against him unawares, ere his army was collected, but the king, nevertheless, was hardly encountered him with the men that would support him. Very hardly encountered him with the men that would support him, and there was a great slaughter made on either side. There was slain King Harold, and Leofwyn his brother, and Earl Gurth, his brother, and many good men. And the Frenchmen gained the field of battle, as God granted them for the sins of the nation. And Earl William returned to Hastings, and waited there to know whether the people would submit to him. But when he found that they would not come to him, he went up with all his force that was left, and that came since to him from oversea, and ravaged all the country that he overran, until he came to Berkhamsted, where Archbishop Aldred came to meet him, with all the best men from London, who submitted then for need, when the most harm was done. It was very ill-advised that they did not so before, seeing that God would not better things for our sins. And they gave him hostages and took oaths, and he promised them that he would be a faithful lord to them, though in the midst of this they plundered wherever they went. Then, on Midwinter's Day, Archbishop Aldred hallowed him to king at Westminster, and gave him possession with the books of Christ, and also swore him, ere that he would set the crown on his head, that he would go so well govern this nation as any before him best did, if they would be faithful to him. According to the chronicler, why did God allow the Frenchmen to win the battle? How did the Battle of Hastings affect rule in England? Who fell from power and who came into power? This concludes the material for April 24.